Blog Talk Radio.
All right, what's up, folks? Rich Fantasso with you, the Veracity Sports Show. It is Wednesday, August 22nd. Summer is almost over. We talked a little bit about football last week. We were talking about the NFL. I didn't really see much going on in the NFL. This one and the story that I want to talk about today, I think, is a bit more, I wouldn't say important, but it's definitely something I want to touch on. It involves college football, and there was an anonymous poll that was taken by CBS Sports, and, you know, the coaches talked about one of the things that Nick Saban, I believe, is the most hated coach, and the quote is that, and again, this is anonymous, but these are all head coaches in Division I. If you had the number one recruiting class in the country every year, you'd win like Nick Saban. He shows up at every single game with a better roster than the team he's playing. Nothing I disagree with there. If you count cheating and getting the best players in the country as part of running a program, he's the best in the country. It's like saying an NFL coach is the best in the league if he gets 25 first-round picks every year. Now, basically everything in that thing is accurate, except he goes on to make the statement, if you count cheating and getting the best players in the country as part of your program, as part of running a program. Now, first we have to define exactly what we mean by cheating in this situation, because there's a lot of rules, first of all, rules that don't make sense, rules that are probably to follow. I'm sure these guys break rules not even knowing about it, because they're just such silly rules in on some of these things, like the amount of text messages or things like that. You know, we look at it and we would probably see, like, where are they coming up with all these rules? We've got so many different things, like you can't text the guy at this certain hour or after this time. And I'm sure they're doing it willingly at times, but I'm sure they're doing it unwillingly at times. Now, that is not what I consider cheating. I don't know what this guy's implication is as well. And again, we don't have the coach. We can't ask him. But you're going to go in and make a statement like this. I'm expecting you, first off, better have proof. But second off, I don't think he's talking about, you know, the fringe things that were discussing whether or not it's sending a letter or doing it early or sending a text at the wrong time or, you know, being in contact when you shouldn't, you know. I don't know all the ins and outs of the college recruiting process, but, you know, maybe showing up at a game you're not supposed to be at. What I'm getting the sense is he must be referring to much more serious forms of cheating. And again, I still think this goes on at many big programs, but I'm talking about, like, you know, the Southern Methodist, SMU. ESPN did the film, of course, The Pony Excess, if you wanted to see that, where you're just, you know, paying guys off, you know, bringing in, you know, all these players. They were talking about Eric Pearson at the time and how he went to SMU. Now, again, Texas A&M had supposedly given him a car and they called it Trans A&M, and then SMU somehow got him. They were paying the price, and it was just blatant. It wasn't even hidden at the, you know, you got these guys getting all sorts of money and all that stuff. It's one of those things where you look at it and you just realize that things are just so blatantly over the top, and it's really at a point of being unfair because, you know, people just can't compete. Now, I think the players should be getting paid anyway, but that's not even the point of it. It's what type of cheating are we talking about? And the coach is coming out and, you know, making a statement like that. And I think it's important to differentiate, because he wouldn't, you know, to me, especially if you're anonymous, you're not going to come out and use the cheating term if you're referring to, like I said, these silly rules or these fringe type of things, you know, whether it be an impermissible text message or something like that. That's not going to be the statement that one is going to be making. And again, you don't know because he's anonymous, but what I'm taking from it is he means some serious, serious hanky-panky, and he might have inside baseball knowledge. I don't know. Maybe Nick Saban is cheating, but he's referring to something that is, you know, above and beyond what we would consider, you know, just things that are outside of silly rules that really don't affect, you know, whether you're sending a text message to a guy or not. To me, that's not going to be the difference. And I don't know where, again, it's Division I coaches, it's anonymous, which we'll get into. Is it someone, you know, you got to think, is this someone in the conference? Is this, you got to think it's someone in the SEC, the way they're talking about how he's showing up with, you know, better roster than the teams he's playing. Now, while that's true, the only people who really get the full understanding of, you know, the roster that they're playing against and how severely they're mismatched would be the teams in the SEC. And even if it's not in the SEC, the teams that Alabama plays outside of conference are, you know, not counting when they throw in, you know, Nicholls State on the schedule, you know, for Alabama to pound, you know, into the turf and get, you know, get their offense rolling about. But for the most part, they're playing Florida State, I mean, Virginia Tech's in the offseason, maybe a Clemson here or there. They're playing quality teams from big conferences in the offseason, which would be guys who might have a feeling of exactly how badly they are mismatched in the, you know, in the games that they're playing. So, excuse me, we got to look at that and see exactly, you know, how serious it is and exactly where we're going with that and what, you know, what conference he's from, this, that, and the other thing. What I think is also, and I'll touch on this first. We had Mike Greenberg make the statement. Mike Greenberg, not really a guy that I'm all that enamored with to begin with, but we're talking, you know, he came out and basically called the chicken, you know what, and he, statement that this would be a coach who's asking his guys to go above and beyond and be men. You know, he's supposed to be molding men and those sorts of things, and he's going to come out and say a thing like this. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. For you to sit down to anybody and call the guy a cheater, and we have heard things, and a coach, granted, I will give you a coach at a Division I program may have some inside information. Certainly, if someone in the SEC or even another big type of school, Alabama's close to Florida, you know, any coach in the country is going to be hitting Florida. They would probably be in touch with the high school coaches and those things and know of some of the other things going on. So there may be smoke to fire here. I don't want to say that that's not the case. But it's also a situation where you would have to ask, well, does Nick Saban really have to cheat? Especially at this point, could Nick Saban, when he first got there, been doing these things to get Alabama back and be getting these players? Of course, anything's possible. Remember, Nick Saban also did win at LSU, though. But once Nick Saban starts putting guys, as many guys into the NFL as he had over the years, he's winning. He's running a very pro-style system, the way the organization, and I shouldn't be using organization with a college football team, the way the program is run, it's very professional style in that regard. Certainly they run a pro-style offense. They run a very pro-style defense. Nick Saban, who was a head coach for the Dolphins, didn't even work out as bad as people think. I think he went, 9-7 before he left? I can't remember if Nick Saban coached another year in Miami. I know he had the 9-7 career or the 9-7 season, but I really can't remember if he coached another year besides that. So certainly, and he's a good coach. Maybe Horton knows. He is a very good coach, and certainly he had been with the Cleveland Browns. I'm looking it up right now under Bill Belichick, I believe at the time. And his head coaching record, 15-17 in the NFL. So I think it was, 6-10 to 9-7 or 9-7 to 6-10. So really not even that bad. And he was able to do that. So he certainly has some NFL roots. There's no doubt about it. I'm shocked that he hasn't taken another chance at the NFL. I mean, to me, there's not much more he can really accomplish at the college level. So we'll keep an eye on that if that, whatever happens in the future. But for the most part, guys are going there because they want to play in the NFL. He's getting all these top-end talented guys because they want to go to the NFL. And, a lot of teams don't run NFL-style offenses in college. You know, and they were talking about the Urban Meyer situation, which I still don't know. I actually got to check that out to see if anything happened with that. I believe the Board of Trustees was meeting today. But with the situation where you don't have necessarily that many programs running the pro style, well, guys who want to be in the NFL are going to go to the pros or are going to go to Alabama to be professionally groomed. And he's showing it. He's putting guys in the NFL. He's putting a ton of first rounders in every year. And that's the big thing. Now, again, could there be cheating going on? I don't know. I mean, what type of cheating? I'd be shocked if there wasn't, and even if there's money being changed hands, like, again, it gets to the point where you're just, throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars around to all sorts of different players, buying them cars and this sorts of thing. You know, if it's a plane ticket, I don't get that upset about, but even that, is it just text messages? Who knows? So we got Lewis on the line, 973-462-94. Lewis, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rich.
How's everything, my man? What's up?
Well, not too much. Getting ready, of course, for the college season, which starts. I've been asked this question a lot today. Like, who do you think should be the starter for the opener with Alabama? Because Saban said he has not decided or has not made a formal decision on who wants to be. If I were a betting man, I would go with Jalen Hurts. I mean, he had a spectacular season last year.
I would go with, I don't know the other guy's name. I know it's like Hawaii. I'm certainly not.
Yeah, I can't say it. Someone's like.
Well, we know who we're talking about. He came in and won the national championship. I believe he was a true freshman in that game, so he's only a sophomore.
Yes.
I mean, could have been a redshirt freshman. I don't know. I don't think he – I don't even know if he ever played in a game other than that. I mean, maybe a mop-up duty, but I don't think – I don't even know if he's played in a college game. I would go with him, to be honest with you. I know that Jalen Hurts hasn't necessarily looked good in some of these practices. So actually, I would go with the guy who came in last year. That would be my choice.
All right.
Speaking of that, I'd like to ask you a question, but just touch on this one for a minute. Did you even hear about this situation where he was being called a cheater? Just what are your thoughts on that?
No, I didn't hear much about that. Really, I didn't hear anything come up in the notes today. But to say that he's a cheater, I wouldn't buy that at all. I mean, he's too respectful to be considered a cheater. I wouldn't buy that at all.
Right. Especially when it's an anonymous sort of situation. And I just, he's been getting these players for a while. Certainly he wasn't out of college that long when he left LSU to go to the pros. He was only in the NFL for 2 seasons, came back, went to, Alabama had been going through their troubles. I get it. But I mean, God, he's been at Alabama for, what, 10 years now? And
at least
he's, this guy come out and say it now? I mean, if there was ever a point that Nick Saban was cheating, to me, it would have been at the beginning. Remember, Alabama had, you know, struggled for years to get back to the top, and then they kind of turned it around. So if you wanted to say, yeah, he comes in, turns it around at that particular point in time, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see some hanky-panky. Once he was starting to win national championships, once he was starting to put as many guys in the pros as he could, he didn't have to cheat anymore. And again, and Lewis, I don't – I mean, you would agree with me. You're sure that there's some of the fringe things or the boundaries put at Alabama, right? Like, they have so many different rules that you don't even know you're breaking them. You would agree, and that's going on everywhere. That's not what I consider cheating.
Yeah, that's
so
that's
would you agree
that's
that
hand with the rules and stuff. It's, you know –
yeah, yeah. So we agree that that stuff is going on. So that's it's interesting. It's an interesting fact. Now, Lewis, before we get into other points that are going on in sports, because you asked about the starting quarterback for Alabama, and last week's topic was the New York Jets. What are you thinking who should be the Jets starting quarterback? Because I knew you weren't there last week. But I touched
on. I had some computer problems and whatnot, so I wasn't able to do it. And
no,
my
it's no
book,
problem.
You know,
I don't know if you had heard what it was, so I'm just interested to get your take. So go ahead. I want to hear what
you
have to say.
Well, simple. I mean, I'll look at it this way. I said 2 weeks ago that, Darnold had a great first game. Okay, I'm like, okay, maybe that's good. Anybody get a good first game, but what is he going to do after that? And surely enough, he faltered in the second game, having an interception. While he was not up to par, it was his first game, so... Is he going to be like, the next great thing of the Giants, or is it going to be just a flash in the pan? He sounds like he's a little inconsistent. I'm not really sold I would say mostly that, excuse me, we have three choices. I'm not really too sold on our number two choice because he gets injured a lot.
Oh, see, Teddy Bridgewater to me had a freak injury. To be honest, I think that if Bridgewater starts, the Jets are a 10-win team or a potentially 10-win team. And Bridgewater has looked, this was the point I was making last week. Bridgewater to me has looked very good. Now, with Darnold, I think he played all right in that Washington game. I was hearing something the other day. They were actually blitzing him. Because they left Darnold in to play with the seconds for a little bit, and then Washington was actually blitzing, which is very unusual. And I'm wondering if there's some bad blood, because that to me sounds like a kind of pushing tactic. And that's when he threw the interception. But to me, Darnold looked all right in the second game. Frankly, I would see – this is the point I was making. This to me is a very tough situation. Because I think Teddy Bridgewater, who's looked very good in camp, is only 25, is a guy that if you go with, you really have potential to make some moves. The Jets have a very favorable schedule at the beginning of the year. They can get off to a decent start. I think the defense is going to be improved. I think Terrell Pryor, will at least give them something with that offense. I don't think the line is that bad. Can make some moves this year. But the problem I see is if Teddy Bridgewater plays really well, what do you then do at the end of the season? You have Darnold, he's the third overall pick. Do you really want to let a guy who Teddy Bridgewater, who would only be 26, just play well, maybe get you into the playoffs? Who knows? I don't think it's nearly as crazy as some people think, especially if you look at the Jets' schedule at the beginning of the year, that this team could be in a playoff chase. And really, the AFC is very top-heavy. You have the Steelers. You have the Patriots. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars, Los Angeles Chargers. You really have the clear-cut division winners. But after that, In the AFC South, yeah, you have some teams. I think Houston. I certainly think Tennessee, Houston with Deshaun Watson coming back. I think those teams can certainly be in contention. But to me, it's very wide open for that wild card. You get off to a decent start, you might have a chance. But if you don't, you know, if Bridgewater does that and then you let him go, what if Darnold starts to struggle? You know, how did you just let it happen to the playoffs out the door? So I think that's one of the interesting things that needs to be looked at when it comes to the New York Jets.
Well, let me ask you, if you say if Bridgewater is a starting quarterback, it'll be a 10-win season. What if it's McCown? Then what?
McCown, I would see. I'm looking at the Jets 6-9. I'm looking at the Jets as a 6-10, 7-9 type of team. But when I look at the Jets' schedule, I think a couple early victories will have them probably at 8, pushing maybe 9 with Bridgewater, maybe 10. With guys like McCown, I would say they're probably around the 6 wins, maybe 4. See, here's the thing. I think McCown would probably have them around 4-7. You know, through 11 games, 5-7 through 12. Then they go, that's when they give Darnold the torch. This is if McCown starts. You get what I'm saying, Lewis? Like, I would see that being it, and then McCown probably struggles, and they end up with 6 wins. So it's hard for me to say. I mean, if McCown started the whole season, which I don't see, 6-10, 7-9, but again, I wouldn't see McCown starting the whole season. You get what I mean? Eventually,
yes,
they're going to give it to Darnold at some point. Now, with Darnold, I think if Darnold is the guy they think he can be, I think he can get them close to 10. But I just think that a rookie would lose a game or a couple games here that you wouldn't expect a guy like Bridgewater to lose. You get what I'm saying? So that's why I'd like to go with Bridgewater. I think he's the best option, and he gives you a legitimate chance to compete this year, but you open up an entirely huge can of worms. So I don't know. What do you think? Who would you go with as to start the year for the Jets? You'd go right with Darnold, or you would give it to McCown and let him nurse it for
Based on experience, I would think I'd go with McCown.
Right. I mean, I get it, Lewis. It's not, like, the worst idea. I think there's potential for the Jets to have a decent season one. And, again, I don't get why if Darnold has shown enough, which I think he has, he's only going to learn by doing. And I don't think that offensive line is by any means terrible. Could they be better? Sure. But I don't think he's going to get – you know, damaged up or anything like that. So I would just go right. Well, if we're just taking it between Darnold and McCown, I'd go right to Darnold. But Bridgewater is an interesting thing. I think that's very important to keep an eye on. Lewis, anything else while we have you? You got a couple minutes, so go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm just just thinking because with that injury, and he hasn't, and Bridgewater hasn't played in over a year, so that's another factor right there. That's my also concern right there, too. So,
yeah, but it's not like injury. I mean, it was a freak injury that happened. It's not like he'd had chronic injuries. You know what I mean? I think when these freak injuries happen, yeah, you need to see if the guy can come back from it. You know, you don't know if he can ever fully, regain whatever was lost in his leg. But I don't think it's a lingering injury issue with Teddy Bridgewater, and certainly he's looked well in camp. So, anything else real quick, Lewis?
Well, switching gears to just basketball for a second, they are finally replacing the RPI system. Thank goodness. It's going to be a brand new system. Called
this is college basketball?
Yes. They're going to call it, they're going to call it the NET. And they'll take several factors into consideration with the rankings.
What's different, the factors between this and the RPI?
Well, they'll take into account games, results, strength of schedule, margin and quality wins and losses. And I don't think the RPI system has been very fair anyway. I mean, I think there.
What's the difference between PI? Isn't that all the things the RPI takes into account?
I think their computer. I think their system. You know, I think is completely outdated. I think some teams might have got cheated out of it, out of getting a berth in the tournament with their system. Because, you know, I thought they were very inaccurate.
Right.
Maybe this one will be more accurate.
But, Lewis, I'm just confused. What does the new system do that the RPI system does not do?
Well, it's going to take more factors into consideration. Because the RPI, I don't think really did. I don't think they did its job as much. And, you know, old and outdated.
Which are those factors, though? Which are the factors that the new system is going to take in that the RPI did not?
It said strength of schedule, game location, scoring, and margin, as well as quality wins and losses. I don't think the RPI did all of that.
Well, the RPI definitely took in strength of schedule. I believe the location they took in. I don't know. To me, it just sounds like
the RPI. I don't think they did, but that's what this new system is going to look into.
Yeah, I don't know. That, to me, that sounds like all the things the RPI took into consideration, so I don't see it being that big of a deal. I'd like to see what they're going to do is, you know, even in college football, I think you could do this, but you really they need more of a human element to take into consideration. Like, if you're playing, say you're, I don't know, North Carolina, or how would I phrase it? How would this situation work? Say you're playing a team early in your conference schedule, and the conference schedule lasts, I believe, from right before the new year.
Yes.
And the new calendar year. Like, it starts right around, if not new, we'll just say New Year's, but it goes until basically the March Madness. If you're playing a team that you play early on in your conference schedule and they're not playing well, they just got started in conference schedule, who knows, maybe they haven't adjusted yet, but then that, and you beat them then, and then that team really starts to come on at the end of the year, or, and then you play them, say, in the conference tournament, and that team is really hot at that point. I don't think they factor that in enough. I think that should be the big thing that's got to be looked at, if you ask me, but.
All right.
All right.
But, you know, I didn't come up with this, but, you know, I still think the RPI system is a bit outdated. I never was a big fan of that system anyway, so maybe this one will be better. It's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think you just win your conference, and that's it. I don't think they should even have the conference tournaments. You just go back to good old-fashioned conference play. Anything else, Lewis, real quick?
I know you're running out of time, so I'll leave it at that.
What'd you say?
I know you're running out of time, so we'll just leave it at that.
All right. No problem, Lewis. We appreciate the call, as always, my man.
Thank you, Rich.
All right. Have a good one. So you heard his opinions there about Nick Saban, saying especially that he doesn't think – well, that Nick Saban, to me, is a no-nonsense kind of guy, but also sort of – he doesn't really have to cheat. I'm glad he touched on that situation that I talked about last year. He asked me about the Alabama quarterbacks. I'd go with the younger guy. Jalen Hurts may be the same. I go with the guy who's not Jalen Hurts, the guy with the Hawaiian name that I can't pronounce. But we were able to incorporate that into the conversation last week, and I think that's important. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater has an injury history. I think he had a bad injury. You know, you know by now if the guy can't, you know, get back onto a football field. He obviously can. Could that knee be compromised? That leg, I guess, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. And I think that's an interesting dynamic you have to look at when it comes to the New York Jets. All right, that's it for me tonight, folks. We appreciate it as always. Be sure to stay tuned next week. The Veracity Sports Show with Rich Van Tassel on In the Zone Sports Network. Signing out. Thank you.